session number 20819, Reel 1.
Paddy Fuster, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
Westminster Street, Hull.
Which year was this?
1920.
Did both your mother and father come from Hull?
Yeah.
What did your father do for a living?
He was went to sea.
Why did they call you Paddy Fuster?
I had an Irish aunt, I think, and she called me that. I got nicknamed it. Some say I had a bad temper, but I disagree.
Which school did you go to?
Westbourne Street.
And how old were you when you left then?
14.
So that must have been 1934.
Yeah.
Did you get a job?
I was working at errand boy at Cooperative Butchers.
What job were you doing when war broke out?
I was working on a city boat on Alexander Dock. I believe it was a Scapaean boat. And it was one of Ellerman's city boats. And we was working about 10 o'clock. But at about 8:30, 9 o'clock, when everybody knew war was being declared, the foreman, we was going to work about 10, the foreman shouted for me to go up the ladder, and I went ashore, and he said, you better go home. And I went home about 9 o'clock that night.
How did you feel about the news?
Too young to know, really. Not bothered.
What job were you doing on the ship?
I was dabbying.
What's that?
Hanging the hooks onto the cargo. See, it was an easy job when I was young. So it's a learning job. And you just, if you got a dabbying job, you had a good job. It's fun to call that bloke dabbai, don't they?
They call him Garai.
Garai, sorry.
Did you join TA before the war?
Yeah, in the May.
Can you tell me about joining TA, please?
Well, we just went out and things was bad as regards the war. Everybody was predicting it was going to happen, and it seemed to be a rush of joining. So we went down Walton Street to the old Coney Island. I don't know whether you know of it or not. And there was three of us. A lad called Phillips, who finished up in the Navy eventually, I don't know how. Herbert Jackson and myself. And we went in Coney Island, and we had a game of snooker and joined up.
Coney Island was a pub then?
No, Coney Island was a little covered in extension from Walton Street Fairground. There was a fairground, then there was this, and you used to go in there, and they had stalls all around. But when the old fair was finished, they used to keep the tanks in there, the East Riding Yeomanry. It was their headquarters. The tanks was like, they could open them with tin openers, A4s, I think there was.
So you joined East Riding Yeomanry?
Yeah.
What kind of experience did you have at first in the TA?
Do you mean before war?
Yes.
Oh, very friendly. Went and did training, and they took us out on driving lessons and then on lorries actually, and we did, weren't a lot they could though, really.
Why not?
Well, they want the space. We used to have to wait and go out, but that year we went to Stockbridge on a camp, and down south, I remember going there, And that was just like a holiday, you know, it was training. We was all young. We didn't know, getting to know each other. Because from all this area.
Do you remember the names of any of the people who were with you in the TA in those months?
A lot, yeah.
Can you name any of them?
In what...
Well, who were your particular friends?
My friends. There was Stan Smith, Harold Bedford. He played rugby for Hull, Harold. Alf Preston, who was a local boxer. Bunk Bedford, Harold Bedford. There was a chap called Bill Robinson. He was a window dresser in town. Well, I got... at the time, I played football and sort of got a team together. And you get to know everybody, so... a lot of things happened, and... funny things, you know. Maybe at the time, we were to mount a guard on the barracks entrance down Walton Street, where we had to train us to deal with the guards and the drill and everything. And was trained that if a funeral come down, which as you can guess, a lot did down Walton Street, you had to turn out the guard. And it was funny because usually by the time they'd all mishmashed themselves together, and got to the guard with the gun and slow to the gate, there'd be a coal cart somewhere like that passing by. And this is it's funny, like, you know, but it's very true. I'm not going to recall that one there, I won't give his name, but he was on guard and come to attention. Did the owner, walked out of pay self, put his arm out to see if it was raining and things like that. I mean, there were some funny things. But what happened?
So what happened when you were mobilised? When war was...
this was when we was mobilised. We was called up and I was first... I went into some private houses down Albert Avenue and was there a few weeks getting to know each other. There was cooking in... was there cooking in a big... in Wenlock Barracks? They had a bit... and we were sleeping on the floor at first in the big drill hall down Walton Street. And then we moved into these private houses. So then... a lot of things happened, right? You know, like ordinary, if you could get out, you used to go for a drink like ordinary. But you couldn't really go home. They did let you go home, which you all did, though, of course. But, I'm floundering.
What happened? Did you stay in Hull long?
5 months. But at the time... I don't know whether I should tell you this, but I came in late from a weekend pass, you know. I came in late, and this certain corporal caught me, and he said, "You're late. It should have been in 8 o'clock. This is an old lay." And do you want to know this?
Yes.
And he said, "Oh, I can." So I said, "Well, what's the matter?" He said, "You're late." I said, "Well, it's just gone 8. So I said, "Well, I'm going on sick at 9 o'clock. So he put me on sick, which he didn't like doing, but he did. Put me on sick. I finished up when the regiment finally packed up and moved to Tidworth. They left me behind because I was suffering from some sort of disease. A nervous stability. So, I don't think I should tell you all this, do you?
So you didn't go to Tidworth?
I went to Tidworth. By the time I had gone to Tidworth, it was about a fortnight, 3 weeks later, I went to the Jalalabad Barracks. And the NCOs had orders. This is going to be a joke. Not to shout at me. So finally, when they got caught out by CSM, he warned them not to shout at me. He found out that it was a bit of a hoax, like. He called me everything. And he told them where I was, like, you know. But after that, we was at Tidworth for quite a while. And then the 1st Regiment had gone to France. And they come back with Dunkirk. They was in that. You see, they split the regiment up into two regiments, the young ones and the 1st Regiment. And there was a lot of rivalry, even though they were all from Hull, or most of them. And
so you were in the 2nd Regiment?
2nd Regiment, because I was young, yeah. And I don't want to be speaking about myself all the time, like, you know.
Well, that's the idea of it.
Where? Because I used to get into loads of trouble. You know what I mean? I used to be one of the boys. And
Did you get into trouble in Tidworth?
No. Not into trouble, you know, with the lads. Why was it Tidworth? So the Dunkirk happened. And that was acting. It was, you know, we had to house them and look after them and feed them and some of the things that, you know, it was terrible. And
what did they look like when they came back from Dunkirk?
All sorts, bedraggled, terrible. And the guards, mucky, dirty, smart. It was marvellous. You see the guards, it was all at the table, and we had to go and feed them. And they'd ask for one of the corporals of the officer to come for a volunteer. And as they were, bloodstained and all, so they'd stand up with one and say, "I'm going to cry."
Did they say, the other East Riding Yeomanry people who'd come back from Dunkirk say anything about what had happened to them?
We didn't see any of those. It was people, they didn't come back in regiments, they come back in a bund.
What do you remember happening next after Dunkirk?
Well, I wasn't at Dunkirk.
After you'd seen the Dunkirk people come back?
Oh, it's all there. There was Pelham Down in... on Salisbury Plain, they put us out there, and I met one or two people, local lads. And while at Pelham Down, I met a lad who was a neighbour. If you remember, Ed, there was at the top of the Aspen Street, there was a woman whose sons always went to all joined the army. Called them Gardner, Mrs. Gardner, and I met her son. She was at the top of the street, a big frame. With all the dead on it.
The Roll of Honour.
The Roll of Honour. You know, the streets did then from the First World War and all who served. And I met her son, the youngest, who was just a little bit older than me. It wasn't her son, Mrs. Gardner's grandson, she brought him up, and he was next door to me. And I was pleased to see him, he was in the East Yorks. And I wrote to him and told them I'd seen him. They all saw me. She sent me half a crown and then a dollar. I'm going to roar again. It's pretty fast asleep. And I always remember that. And them things was happening all the time. But that was on Pelham Down. But then after Dunkirk and things were settling down, we still stayed at Jalalabad Barracks, Tidworth. And then just for an amusing thing, I remember once we had to guard a big heap of bananas on the square, one of the first things we did. And it was all green, and we had to guard them while there was writing out, like, that was a hell of a joke, say. But that was the funny side of things. And from there, I think we went to Brackley, I forget now. And while I was at Brackley, me and my friend, we got posted to the 24th Lancers. I can't give you the dates. I could do if you...
Don't worry about the dates.
No. And we got posted to the 24th Lancers.
How did you feel about that?
Very bad. It was very close. And we didn't want to leave the Italian Army, right? So we went to... When did we go? Dean Newmarket, Barton Mills, Canada Farm Camp. And it was to join this regiment to go to North Africa. We joined them, they were making them up. And there was me and Stan and another chap, I think Oscar B. He, do you know him?
Yes, he might have been the one who told me about him.
Right. Yeah, he is, yeah. And we joined them. Well, they give us 6 days. 6 days embarkation leave. And we knew we weren't going late yet then. So we suffered from train times. We couldn't get back on time. So we finished up about 10 days on leave. But we went back, you know, went back on our own and give ourselves up. We wanted to give ourselves up right into the clink. The camp, it was a bell tent actually. And the squadron leader was Major Al Eusen. And he said in Germany he would have been shot. And he wished he had the powers to do it. But we got over all that and it was smashing. You know, finished up, we enjoyed the regiment. And Major Al Eusen, when I came back, was on guard. And he came to me on the guard and he said, shall we have a fresh start? And I thought, well, that's the best thing to say, yes. So we become quite friendly with him, actually. I think since he won the gold medal in Mexico, horse riding, and I'm a bit stuck. Where was with Canada?
You were waiting to go off to North Africa.
Well, then then we did our training there, and I'll tell you a funny thing. Before we went to give ourselves up, I also remember we were in Farm Day, and shall we give ourselves up? No, not yet. Like, and we climbed on top of a haystack. It was in between Canada Farm Camp Lake and Ethan there. Barton Mills and that's that. And there was this haystack where we climbed up, and there's Stan Smith walking away on the owner, waiting. We had a little rest and then went and gave ourselves up, and then we got fell into place like. But we did our training on Newmarket Heath.
What was that like?
Oh, it was good, you know, the training with tanks, you know, with the tanks. But then after a while, we moved to just Chippendale Camp, just outside Newmarket, which was all the same area. And
what was your job in the tanks?
I was driving.
And what kind of tanks did they have then?
Well, we had we had Crusaders. I can also remember some. They had some Unos there, some Churchills, which were slow and cumbersome. And they had very thin, little 2 pound on the front. But we had mainly the Crusaders. I'll show you, sure.
No, don't.
No. And, yeah, and.
What was it like driving a Crusader?
Oh, well, you've no vision, you've eyes. I mean, and slunking, putting your head out of the top, you know, driving around, looking at everybody and waving at people. But ordinarily, driving, you'd use a visor, that's for action. And was around there for quite a while. And then when it came to, was in the Dishnuts, and when it came to embarking, we embarked, and I think it was definitely going to Scotland, so everybody was tipping it with the Clyde, and we drove down to 6 Mile Bottom at just outside Newmarket, and we set off, and I don't know whether it was one day or 2 days, but we finished up back at Newmarket because it had been cancelled. The tanks were found to be inferior. So then we started trading with Shermans. We started getting, what they did, they gave us a week sort of 2 to 10 days holiday in the camp, and we did gardening and we had games of football, like troop competition, which we won, and just to settle it all down, like, you know, I'm floundering again, I've run out of words, and after that, the traders for the second front, and we got these Sherman tanks.
So you didn't go off to North Africa?
No, we came back after about 2 days on the train, and then after that we trained with these Shermans, and there was, and at first there was we came to Brid. I was parked outside the Emmanuel Church at Brid, the one that got burnt down. My tank was right outside there, and we used to go on to the Yorkshire Moors, and it was really late, and the tank started breaking up, and the crankshafts, long crankshafts, was breaking, and he'd be going in with a tank, not me personally, but driving a tank up and down hills, but going so far, and the crankshaft had break, and he was going on, he was losing control, it was just going now, and they were suspecting sabotage, but it wasn't, it was where there was being made, there were some of the nuts on the prop shaft casing. When they got the whiplash on the tank, you know, the way to the tank, holding, you got a bit of whiplash on the prop shaft because it was long, and it was catching onto the side of these nuts, which were shearing them. And they found that out, and I hope you can understand this because I can't myself. For so lazy it is. But they did really think at first that it was sabotage. And anyhow, we got our tanks, and then we did a bit of training at Bridd. I can remember being turfed out one night about 4 o'clock in the morning, climbing the nets on the harbour side onto little barges and that.
So what did you think of the Sherman to drive after the Crusader? Which did you prefer?
Well, it was very fast. It was good. But the Crusaders, I used to like the Crusaders, but they obviously wasn't that much good as regards the time. The sides was, thin. But the Shermans was pretty good, and they fitted them all with extra armour plated. Again, the driver and the co-driver, each side. I think we went to a little village. Where was it? I remember taking it on the hour, and a Polish camp, where were they? Just off the Great North Road near Newark. And they did them there. I'm running out of words.
Who was in your tank crew?
Oh, it was a baron. Sounds bad, doesn't it? Wicked baron. What they call him. I've just been looking at him on there.
He was the commander of your tank?
Yeah. He was a good bloke. I never liked him in the regiment, because I'd got off to a bad start. To say that you didn't like him, that was just personal. But he was good in action. He used to be clearing off and looking for things, and he used to be stuck in the tank, what we're doing. Oh, that's where well he comes back,
How many were in the Sherman tank crew? Don't worry about the book, because there's nothing visual about this anyway.
No, I'm just saying about his name.
Oh, no, don't worry about it.
Baron Luddington, they call him.
How many were in a Sherman?
Five.
Do you remember who the other three were?
Yeah, there was the other three. I had to tell you.
You're on the Baron.
The rim, yeah. I can't remember the gunner properly. There was Jock Burns. Jock Burns, me. No, I forgot.
Never mind. So
I think it Blunt, a Jewish lad there. Eccleton. Bernstein. I think he was with us. Was always with me for a long time, but and was pals. And when there was a weekend, when there was a weekend, he took me to his home in London, and was real good to me, Cyril Bernstein. I think he got killed out there.
So, at the moment, you're training in Yorkshire Wolds area, near Bridlington.
Yeah.
What do you remember happening next?
Well, there was not a lot like it. Well, when I'd gone back late, 6 days late, Al Hughes and they gave me, instead of giving me and Smithy Smith, they were both of them. He gave us 27 days detention. Well, with 27, you don't get no remission, which would have only been 4 days, but it was a bit bad with it, and within the 24-day detention, well, when we come back, they put us in the boxing time. There was a Bridd. Wait a minute. Was a bit. Anyhow, this boxing door, it's 3 bays. Are you interested in all
this? Yes.
Anyhow, I won in the first round, so I was fighting in the regiment, and as a sergeant major's brother, so his squadron. And I fought him, beat him later. But I also remember the squadron leader come.